Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, titled, By Grace Through Faith Unto Good Works. This is part 2.
Admitting I can't save myself and receive the free gift. That's it. You must repent of your unbelief, nature, and deeds before they will receive God's word. When you're talking to somebody about the gospel, first of all, a lot of people don't even... I've showed someone in our group this week, some of you saw my post, where a thing going around Facebook, it claimed to be the gospel. Didn't even mention Jesus. Didn't even mention the cross. Didn't mention the resurrection. Didn't mention sins. You say, well, what did it mean? It said, you are unholy, God is holy, salvation is a free gift. That's not going to save anybody. I mean, without the cross, there is no gift. Without the resurrection, there is no victory. Without repentance, there's no belief. Those little gospel in a nutshell things, it can be done, but you better be very careful with them. Because when you cut off and hack off important fundamental truths, it becomes no gospel at all. That's what's going on today. In their context, in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, Paul is not preaching the gospel. Do you understand that? You understand what we're studying? I've said this before, but I want to reiterate it. This is a letter written to people who are already saved. In the context, he's teaching what we would call soteriology in your Bible institutes, your doctrinal books. Soteriology is the doctrine of salvation. He's not preaching the gospel, he's teaching the doctrine of salvation. And he's teaching it to saved members of the church in Ephesus. He's not street preaching. He's not preaching to unsaved people. You see that in the book of Acts. Now, Acts is a book you have to be careful about. It's a transitional book. So, Acts 2:38, for example, isn't the gospel that we preach. But by the time Paul is saved in Acts 9, the transition is coming to its fruition. And Paul, at that time, is basically chosen to be the main author of the epistles to the churches and the main source of truth to the churches in general. But you'll see, we don't have time to run all references today, but Peter is already preaching the gospel of grace in the book of Acts. Paul is already preaching the gospel of grace in the book of Acts. By the time you get to Acts 13, 15, 18, and I'm bringing that up because hyper-dispensationalists will try to tell you that the church doesn't start until Acts 9 or Acts 15 or 18 or even 28. They'll go away and say the whole book of Acts. Therefore, then they throw out a lot of Paul's writings. No, the church began and is in existence by Acts 2. Because God adds to the church in Acts 2. Guess what they'll do with that? The guys who say the church didn't start till later, they'll say that was a Jewish church. It's not the same as the church we're in. And the Bible never says that. And the gospel that's preached by Paul and Peter throughout Acts after Paul is saved is the gospel of grace. And I'm telling you all that for you to understand that if you want to see what Paul preached to unsaved people, you go back to the book of Acts. And see what he preached to the unsaved people after he was saved and after he was in the ministry and he was already preaching the gospel of grace. And so was Peter. And Paul established the fact that faith requires repentance that we just mentioned. Paul describes his ministry in Acts 20. Now only a small segment of what we call hyper-dispensationalists would claim that this is not part of the church age. But almost everybody you know understands that this is the Apostle Paul as the Apostle to the Gentiles. And what his ministry is described here. And he says he is testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. So this is the new man, the one man that we're going to study here in Ephesians, being brought about from Jew and Gentile into one body. Already right there. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now think this through. Why? Because when they heard the word of God, if they did not repent, the Jews would reject it because they would say it doesn't match their tradition. If you're a Greek, they would reject it because they would say that they held to what we call Platonism, Plato and Socrates and the philosophers. And so whether you're Jew or Greek, you had to repent. That meant also what the Jews, they didn't believe they were sinners. They would say, I'm a child of Abraham. Okay, fine, you're a child, but you're still a sinner. Call us a sinner. And the Greeks, they didn't even believe in sin. So they had to repent of their unbelief and repent of their acknowledgement of their sin, both their nature and their deeds, and with faith that is produced by receiving the Word of God as the Word of God, turn toward the Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified, shed His blood, was buried, and rose again. That's the Pauline ministry right there. And we are a Pauline church. You need to understand that. You cannot have faith without repentance. And what modern apostates do to get around repentance is to define it as works. You'll hear people say, well, I don't believe in preaching repentance. That's works. How many of you heard that? But we're told faith and salvation is not of works. But we were just told that it was required. Repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. So right there, you know repentance isn't works. Paul preached it, and now Paul is saying it's not of works. Paul's not contradicting himself here. He's talking to Christians who are already saved, who had already repented toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying that wasn't of works. But it's a little clearer than that. Repentance is not a work. God gives repentance. Here's one example, Acts 5:31. Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Now that was during the transition. But even then, he's saying if Israel is going to repent of killing their Messiah, it will be because they finally believe the word of God. God will grant them repentance. And then they would believe. 2 Timothy 2:25, this is Paul that even the hyper-dispensationalists would say, this belongs to us. And it says, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Now, if God gives it, that can't be a work. Amen? Why, this is important for you to understand because you need to understand that you're saved because you simply received the Word of God and then God produced this in you. Amen. God produced repentance and faith in you. You can't lay claim to anything.
That's right.
And it's because it's not a work, you can't lay claim to it. If God gives repentance, then it is a what?
Yes.
Amen? And if you don't believe God gives repentance, you don't believe the Bible. Because that's what it says. And it's just amazing, folks. I'm telling you. I've talked to people and given them these scriptures where it flat out says that God gives repentance. And they won't buy it. Because they're in what I call a cult. Hyper-dispensationalism, when it gets to that degree, it becomes a cult. And they don't believe in being born again. They go to a certain point where now there's different shades. But some of them deny being born again. Some of them deny being baptized. Some of them deny taking the Lord's Supper. They just become this other religion. It doesn't even look like Christianity. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure, what does it say that? Because they have to receive it. He'll give it, but they have to receive it. And it's to the acknowledging of the truth, meaning that they acknowledge it's the Word of God. Now, I'm going to play a clip here because every time I mention this, I have people who are Ruckman followers. And they'll write me these letters saying that I'm preaching heresy and Ruckman didn't preach on repentance and all this. And I've told them, I've got videos I've got his sermons. He does preach repentance. And so I'm putting this on there just maybe to, you know, block some of the email from coming to me. But for some of you who do listen to Peter Ruckman, you understand this. And I can, and I'm going to put together clips from many preachers. I'm only mentioning this because this is what gets me the most mail. But I can show all these other preachers that people claim to believe are true preachers who preach this. But I want you to listen to this.
If you're a Pauline minister and follow Pauline epistles and preach the gospel, the grace of God that Paul preached, there's one thing you never leave out. You never leave out repentance. You always preach on repentance. You wouldn't leave repentance out for anything in this world.
Was that clear?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to play the whole clip.
If you're a Pauline minister and follow Pauline epistles and preach the gospel, the grace of God that Paul preached, there's one thing you never leave out. You never leave out repentance. You always preach on repentance. You wouldn't leave repentance out for anything in this world. You say, how do you know? Look at verse 21.
He's going to Acts 20, 21.
Paul said his ministry was two things. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Because Paul was preaching repentance and just telling what John the Baptist told him. And Paul is preaching repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, and Paul is baptized. That isn't all. Paul said, be a follower of me as I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. You know what Christ said? He said, if you don't believe Moses, you won't believe me. If you don't believe his writings, how can you believe my words?
Amen.
Yep. Jesus Christ was a prophet like unto Moses, and Christ said he was raised up as a prophet like unto Moses. And Moses said, when that prophet comes, you better hear what he says, because every word that he speaks, God's going to require of you.
Amen.
You see, you need to understand this. That's why if I were preaching to unsaved people, I wouldn't go this direction with this. But I take for granted you're not lying to me and y'all said you're saved.
Yeah.
And so you need to understand this so that you can then minister. See? It's A, you understanding where you came from. You understanding the work God has done in you. I want to tell you that I'm going to be frank with you. When I got saved, I didn't understand everything.
Yeah.
But later, as I understood, I'm like, yeah, that's right. I remember, yeah, that's right. Oh, I remember that. I remember reading the Word of God and it really coming on to me, this book is from God.
Amen.
I didn't believe that when I first picked it up. And hearing the gospel and then realizing, wait a minute, God came as a man? I've always heard about the little baby Jesus and all, but I didn't realize that was God coming as a man. And then allowing them to abuse him to pay for my sins. And then realizing when I believed and I received the Word of God, it was all God's Spirit doing all that in me. Because I really couldn't understand what happened. Why the change? It was really simple. As soon as I turned with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, it all changed. What caused me to turn with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ? For years that bothered me. And then I remembered, I had that moment where I repented. And I stopped trusting in my reasoning and my own goodness. And I said, this is the Word of God. I receive it. And I'm a sinner and I'm helpless. I know I need to be saved. And that's when it happened. Some of you may have been saved in a while now and you still haven't really come to terms with what happened. It happened the first time you were born. You don't remember that either, amen?
Amen?
I mean, you might remember being saved, but you don't know what happened. Same thing with being a baby. When you were born, how old were you? Sometimes I've heard people say even 2 years old or even 3 years old, they have their first memories. But it's later when you found out, oh, mommy carried me in her tummy?
Weird.
That's weird. And gave birth? And then you're like, daddy was once in his mommy's tummy? And he was a little baby at one time. You remember that picture I showed last week? I remember when the first time I saw my dad as a little baby, I was stunned. I was like, my dad? He was that big one time? The same thing happens spiritually. You go through that same process of understanding. And to some of you, that may be this morning. You're coming to this understanding. The false brethren lie about repentance, calling it a work, and further stunt the growth of the babies. But they also preach a false gospel. And they then tell you that Jesus is to be ignored. They do. Jesus called sinners to repent. Matthew 9:13 says, "But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And they'll say, well, you can ignore that because that's in the Gospels and that's under law. Well, there's the problem with that theory. And that is this. Yes, it was still under law. The church had not been established yet, but Jesus was already preaching the gospel.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, over and over he said, listen, the Son of Man is going to be killed and on the third day rise again. That's the gospel, folks.
Amen.
And they were like, I wonder what he means. Happened all throughout the Gospels. And the false brethren, after they lie and tell you repentance is a work, they tell you to ignore Jesus, and then they tell you that Paul did not preach repentance, which we already saw in Acts 20:21 is not true, but also Acts 26, we're coming down to the very end of the book. The end of the book of Acts. Verse 20 says that Paul showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles. This isn't Paul going to the Jews and still under transition. This is after the transition is complete. He's preaching the gospel. And it says that, what's he preach? That they, these are lost people, this isn't the church, that they should repent and turn to God. Acts 20:21 describes that. And do works meet for repentance? Now some people will get real shook up about that and say, well, he's adding works to salvation. No, he's not. He's saying that when you repent and turn to God, then you should do works meet for repentance, meaning your works should match your profession.
That's worship.
Amen. That's worship. That's right. And this is the exact same message of Ephesians 2:8-10. See? He's preaching that you should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Now he's preaching to saved people. He says, yeah, you were saved by grace through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. And then verse 10, read it. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. See, that's what you're saved for. If God didn't want you to do good works now that you're saved, He'd just say, oh, you're saved, okay, and He'd kill you. or maybe that sounded a little harsh, maybe He'd immediately rapture everybody. That would tend to probably shoot up the soul winning numbers, wouldn't it? People are like, yes, I believe. What happened to him? Once you believe the gospel, you go right to heaven. I believe. You know? Why doesn't that happen? Why is it people get saved, they're not immediately raptured? Right there. That's right. What's one of the main works that you've been created to do now as a Christian is to preach the gospel.
Right. And if you're raptured, you can't be a priest.
Yeah. Going a little deeper there than I want to go, but yes. That's part of the whole created unto good works thing. Those are works meet for repentance described there. What are the works meet for repentance in Acts 26:20? The works that you have been created in Christ Jesus unto.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Not to be saved, but because you are saved. Say that with me. Not to be saved, but because you are saved. Liars all over the place who accuse you and me of preaching that you can be saved and not have to do good works. You can just be saved and live like the devil. And we do not preach that. We preach that you're saved unto good works. And if you don't and you defile the temple and live in sin, God will kill you.
Amen.
First Corinthians chapter 3. So anybody tells you we just preach, get saved, and live like the devil, they're lying. They're at least telling the half-truth, which is a lie. For we are His workmanship. When you were born again, you were saved, and God has now created you in Christ Jesus unto good works. And that He's had this plan from, what's it say there? Before ordained. It means He's had this plan from the beginning. Amen. From before the beginning. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:17 means. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's what that verse is saying. And I cannot judge you based on your works, but you can judge you. I'm up here to inform you of the biblical truth. And now you can do what Paul says to do. I call it the 7-time self-examination in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Look at, count them. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. He's appealing to you 7 times in one verse to examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Amen. And let me tell you something. Someone look you in the eye and say, well, I believe in God, but I don't believe the Bible is infallible. You better start praying for that person's soul.
Right.
I'm not saying to pronounce them lost and condemn them, but I wouldn't want to be in their shoes saying that, because the Bible says you couldn't even be saved if you didn't believe the Bible is the Word of God.
Amen.
People say there are other ways to heaven. Billy Graham said it. Joel Osteen said it. We've told people you better pray for their soul. Billy Graham, Joel Osteen, look at all the people listening. Even more reason to pray for their soul.
Amen.
Because Jesus said there's only one way, and it's through Jesus Christ Himself.
Amen.
Someone says, well, I don't believe a God of love would send someone to hell. You better pray for that person's soul.
Amen.
They're rejecting the Word of God. But see, you can't judge it. You've got to pray for them and encourage them to judge it.
Yep.
Paul didn't say, set up an appointment and I'll examine you. He says, examine yourselves. Now, we're going to close with this. For those of you who are saved, you should be concerned with reaching people with the gospel. But here are the prereqs. Do you believe the King James Bible is God's Word without error?
Amen.
Let me give a little disclaimer here. I'm not saying that if someone isn't like King James only, that they can't be saved. But when you read the Word of God, you're using the King James Bible. And if they reject that, they can't be saved.
Amen.
I'll say this and get on dangerous terms with some of the brethren, but you can read a new version and sometimes they get it right.
Yeah.
And when they do, it's the Word of God. See, the difference between the King James is it's the Word of God without error.
Amen.
The new versions contain the Word of God, but they contain error too.
Yeah.
Stick to the one without error. Amen. Preach the gospel, and if they don't accept that, they can't be saved.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's where you need to step back and start dealing with that issue. Mm-hmm. Point 2, prereq of salvation, are you repentant of false beliefs, your nature, your sinful deeds? Well, I want to be saved, but I also believe the Muslims and the Buddhists, and everybody has their own way, but I'll take Jesus. That's Oprah. That's what's going on in the New Age movement, and that's a damnable lie. Your nature, well, I'm just as good as anybody else. That person can't be saved. And, well, you're going to call my love a sin just because you don't like who I'm loving? That's the big one today.
Yeah.
And they can't be saved. They've got to say, you know what? God says it's an abomination, it's not love.
Amen.
Then they can be saved.
Amen.
Why? Because they are not coming to God empty. They're coming to God with their own religion.
Amen. That's right, brother.
And you can't be saved. Finally, after you know that they believe the Word of God and they have a repentant heart, you present the gospel truth. Do you understand and truly believe the gospel truth? And if they do, you're saved.
Amen.
You don't even have to ask them. You present the gospel. Do you believe that? Yes. You're saved.
Amen.
You don't even have to ask. Now, I always take them to prayer. I believe in praying with people once they're saved. But I'm telling you, according to the Scripture, right there is when they're saved.
Amen.
You know what you're doing when you take them to prayer? You're basically introducing them to their new father.
Hallelujah.
Before they're saved, the devil's their father.
Yeah.
Now they're saved. Let me introduce you. Let's pray. Isn't that wonderful? If you've never been able to do that before, there's nothing else like it. It's wonderful. It's wonderful when you did it. It's wonderful when you lead others to do it. But there are some prereqs. That has to happen. That's why we say, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And now that you're saved, spend yourself for Jesus.
Amen.
That's the message of verse 10. Spend yourself now that you're saved. Not to be saved, but you are saved. So now just let God have it all. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen, amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for this truth. Thank You for having all 66 books and being able to compare Scripture with Scripture.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit leading and guiding us in our study, our teaching, and our understanding. And we just thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. We're so thankful that we have the Word of God, and those who receive it can be saved by believing how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Anyone who will simply repent of their unbelief, their love of sin, turn empty-handed, crying out, "Save me." It's so wonderful just to think about the day that it happened to me. And to be surrounded by so many others. Even though the percentages of the world population, it's low, there's still a great multitude, a remnant, saved by grace. I thank You for each and every one. We thank You for each and every church that met today or will be meeting around the world that preaches this gospel.
Amen.
And we're looking forward to meeting them all in the air. In the presence of Jesus Christ, where we'll be with Him forever. So shall we ever be with Him. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're going to turn to page 34.
First, let's eat.
Amen.
Brother John.